Given creativity's power to improve our lives, how can we harness it? How can we become more creative? Coming back to how our brains work, there are three ways we can take advantage of how we're wired.
Boris, it's for you. Some weird electrician on the wire. Repairs or something, see?
The boss, I know who that is. Thanks, Hal.
Nord wires, no doubt.
Nord who?
Oh, just an ingenue I know.
Oh, Joe, you're wired.
Come here, please.
No, take it easy.
First, it turns out that being creative means fighting a fundamental quality of the human brain. The human brain weighs only 3 pounds, but it takes up 20% of the body's energy. Because we're mobile creatures that run on batteries, food.
Oh, thank you, boys. In my latest book, Everything You Wanted to Know About Electricity and How to Get a Big Charge Out of It, I clearly demonstrate with carefully retouched, researched photography that the first truly wireless civilization in the world was the ancient Druids of India.
Wow.
Last year, with the aid of a shadow engrantment, I personally oversaw a secret excavation team which investigated the inexplicable discovery of hundreds of druidic mounds consisting entirely of decomposed dry cell batteries rusting in relative silence for over 200,000 years.
That's very hard to believe.
I'd bet Ray's granddaughter believes it.
From these battery mounds located in the vast Plain del Beljars near Plath outside Kathmandu came myriads of artifacts, but not one scrap, trace, shred, or fragment of wires.
Wow.
Thus, I proved inconclusively that prehistoric Druidic India was the first wireless society, batteries not included.
We have to act as efficiently as possible. And as a result, the brain is always going to go for the easiest thing first. It's going to choose the most obvious answer. It takes the path of least resistance. Our brains naturally default to the neural pathways that represent what we've done before. Creativity emerges when we get off of the path of least resistance. All of the good ideas are in there, but you have to dig deeper into your neural networks. So the first way to get more creative is to dig deeper, to get off the path of least resistance, to try something new. Like changing career.
My name is Khalees, and I am a singer, songwriter, chef.
Having gained international acclaim as the singer with hits like Milkshake, Khalees Rogers completely changed creative tack. When she retrained as a chef.
You know, when I went to culinary school, I was already an adult and I had already put out huge records. And here I was standing in a room of people who were striving for something. That's so cool. And then it's really humbling because I didn't excel here yet.
Changing direction gave her a whole new creative challenge.
Music, you can tell me you don't like it, but you can't tell me it's wrong. Food is different. You can completely mess it up. Like, it can be absolutely wrong.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, and particularly the ladies, this station takes great pleasure in bringing you that little Frenchman who's been tickling your palates all over this universe, our own fresh chef.
Hello, lady. Take off your dress, slip into someone comfortable, and tie up your little apron. Be ready for some French cooking. And I'm your host, the French Fresh Chef. Today, lady. Thank you.
Bonjour.
Bonjour, chérie. Today, lady, potatoes in syrup. You will need 1/2 pound of slag. This is skinned slag. That is, you know, you mustn't pick the pulpy ones, although it's spotted with gray. It's needlessly expensive, and you won't be satisfied. We need 1 ounce of very sweet, dry, crystallized sugar. 2 pounds of potatoes, soft with yellow skin. And, of course, wine of sufficient quantity. Yeah, we are now ready to begin. Step one, the peeling. Take it off. Take it all off. Oh, thank you. Now, step two. Intricately, ladies, gently, disengage and take the potatoes into small dimensions, like this. Uh-huh. Let them to cook during 10 minutes in boiling wine and hot oil, lightly perfumed. I'm using my favorite wine, of course, on the Thunderbird label, Nippon Cadet Hot 69. Now, step three, ladies, test them. And pour the potatoes in cold water to make goose pimples. Good. Now test them again. Then, and this is very important, that you do it loving them. You must eplush them. Finally, slip them into a casserole. Cover it with this crystallized sugar. Oh, the entire potatoes, please. Uh-huh. Remember now, cover them with water and let it set for sufficient time to be very sweet, just until the potatoes become transparent. Serve them cold, like dessert. That's it, ladies. Eat hearty. And until next week, my Sylvan beauties, this is the Fresh Chef. Saying bon appetit.
It's beautiful. So I think if you're able to step out of what you're comfortable in and what you know, you would be shocked at what it will bring to everything around you. I never felt like I had to choose one thing on anything.
Walking away from our jobs isn't always possible. But there are other ways we can try something new. By learning a new skill.
The world rewards specialization. But specialization comes at a cost. You learn more and more about less and less until you know everything about nothing.
Not being bound by specialization has allowed Nathan to make discoveries in a wide variety of fields. Physics, energy, and even cooking. But he's the first to acknowledge that learning new subjects is not easy.
Part of that learning is you have to be confused. So I'm very often frustrated and confused and think of myself as being really stupid because I'm not getting it.
It kind of looks pretty on the inside.
To be creative, to think outside the proverbial box.
Getting close.
You have to be willing to be wrong.
See what we have here.
You also have to be willing to be right and yet have everyone think you're wrong.
And so, there we go.
So, while forcing our brain to try something new can make us more creative, there's another facet of the brain that can interfere with our creativity. Our brains are novelty seekers. They crave what's new and exciting because what's old and familiar becomes less and less stimulating. So creative ideas have to exist in a balance between the familiar and the new. Which brings us to the second way we can become more creative. We have to push boundaries.
The eagle has landed.
The challenge is, there's no easy way to tell exactly where that sweet spot lives. Because if you do something that's too boring, the world's gonna pass you by. And if you do something too crazy, no one's gonna follow you there. The trick is to explore the range of possibilities, pushing boundaries everywhere to figure out the limits of what works.
Dick, she works! It does, Tom! It comes in and goes out like anything!
Oh, to think all I had to do was put the balls on the other side.
Look at them spin now!
Aren't they beautiful?
Oh, Tom! Those balls will mean your fortune.
By Fudd, I'll patent this machine and name it after Nancy.
What, you mean pushover?
Yes, because that's what she does. And she'll run everything.
Everywhere.
Every time.
Forever.
For everybody.
It comes in, it must go out. Testicles deviant to Fudd's law. So, with the invention of the motor-operated pushover, man and science gave birth to life here, today, in the future. Man, woman, child, all is up against the wall of science!
Pushing boundaries is something Nick Cave has done consistently during his 30-year career. As a musician who has won every major award from Best New Album to Songwriter of the Year.
You fell from the sky, crash-landed in a field near the River Ader.
What I am genuinely pleased with is that we've continued to make records that are dealing with different sorts of things and different styles of music and gone on all sorts of paths where the audience has to really rethink whether they like Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds all over again.
Pushing audiences into new musical territory is what keeps his music fresh.
Our new record, the timing is terrible. It's out of tune because it's basically improvised. For all its mistakes, people responded to that, you know. Now, if we were to say, whoa, that kind of thing about playing really out of time and all of that sort of stuff, the kids love it, let's make another record like that. It would be a disaster. And the thing is, we need to turn our back on that and to go somewhere else.
Pushing at the boundaries of comfort is risky, but it can also be the most rewarding.
There's a spectrum between things that are too familiar and things that are too far out and wacky, and there's sort of this border of the possible. So how do you know when you're near there?
That's a good way to express that, really. There is a knife edge, certainly, that we're moving on. The line that's really exciting is the shameful line, or the line like, I really can't say that, or something that genuinely starts to make you feel uncomfortable. Writing a song is agonizing and excruciating because you never know until the end if it's any good. The amount of times I've written a lyric that I think is just the greatest thing, and I take it into the studio, and the whole thing falls in on itself and never makes it as a song.
Creating something can be agonizing and excruciating because we risk failing. Which takes us to the third way our brains can interfere with the creative process. Failure feels awful, and so we often avoid it. But we need to do the opposite. Don't be afraid of failure. The reality is that most people's successes rise out of the ashes of their previous failures. Someone who knows all about this is the co-creator of one of the most successful shows of all time, Game of Thrones.
What is the role of failure in your creative process?
Well, I've failed very consistently for many, many years. It was sort of the bedrock of my life process.
If I can get some work out of that boy of yours, I can have the bunker finished by election day. Where is Porgy anyway?
He's up in his room, helping Porcelain make the bed.
Oh, Porgy!
I am his many cousins.
I chipped the stone.
I smelt the rock.
I bronzed the shoe.
I lay the asphalt.
If you subtract the air date of pilot of Game of Thrones from the day I graduated college and the number you get, that's the failure quotient for me. Sometime after college, it started to dawn on me that I saw myself as someone who did this thing. I saw myself as a writer, but I wasn't very good. And so that freaked me out. And I was very attached to the words that I wrote because I wrote them. It's like a part of me. If I don't like these, I don't like me.
For Dan, the key was to be less worried about failing.
I gradually, slowly came to the realization that it doesn't really matter what you type into the computer, and there are words, and you can type new ones into the computer just as quickly. All the failures contribute to your overall ability to do this thing.
And to do this thing still involves a degree of failure when he's script writing.
And something that seemed great to you and that you were willing to go to the mattresses for and really fight to protect, you'll read 6 weeks later and say, what is this shit and who wrote it? And then you'll, oh yeah, that was me, I wrote it. Okay, well, that's terrible.
So here's your last deal, Miss Presky. Now, which would you rather do? Hit this Jew over the head with a bag of sugar or beat out that rhythm on a drum? Come on, love.
I'll take the bag.
You mean you're gonna trade this 4-foot cube of 18-carat Swiss bullion and the snake knives, Mrs. Presky, all for that little bag?
Oh, yes, I want the bag.
Well, all right then, open it up.
Oh, why, this is a bag of shit.
But it's really great shit, Mrs. Presky.
And no one would ever say that.
So, to be more creative, we need to try something new and challenge ourselves to get off the path of least resistance, to push boundaries, to create something that's not too new or too familiar, but somewhere in between.
Because it kind of looks pretty on the inside.
We need to not be afraid to fail. By doing that, we can all learn to become more creative. So, given creativity's importance and our ability to cultivate it, shouldn't we all be taught to embrace it from the beginning? Well, that's what they're doing here at this school in Vermont. 10 years ago, H.O. Wheeler was on the verge of being shut down. A school on the poor side of the tracks, it was failing.
We had the lowest test scores, some of the lowest test scores in the state. They were talking about closing our school.
To save the school, they came up with a radical new approach. To put creativity and the arts at the heart of every subject.
When can kids learn? When they're engaged. And when you focus on the arts and the process of the artistic experience, it allows children to blossom in very unique and special ways. So what we're focusing on is the process of experiencing the arts or learning through the arts.
Take a subject like math. The children are learning geometry through the medium of abstract art.
Today, for math, we're gonna start off with some visual thinking strategies.
And when you do an integrated arts unit, you're hitting on all those ways that kids learn differently. You know, some are more visual, some are more spatial, some are very cognitive.
Matthias.
It's not a realistic picture of like a person walking around.
Great, what more can we find?
You're hitting all those different avenues of learning that kids are able to access information.
I noticed there's two shades of green. It's sort of darker toward the bottom part.
Great.
Hello. Recognize these teeth? I'm Art Snob, and I'm speaking for Mr. Leonardo's Warehouse of Eternal Art. Move the Louvre to your own den or patio with this indoor-outdoor all-weather art. These beautiful paintings are oil on astroturf by great masters, and each painting is signed by someone. All your favorite subjects, bulls, panthers, clowns, hobos, sad-eyed orphans. Look at these, panthers eating clowns, orphans roasting hobos, sad-eyed bulls goring crying orphans. This is your rugged, year-round art, perfect for your patio or under your car. Here's how to order.
That's Mr. Leonardo's Warehouse of Eternal Art at 82 Haunted Shopping Mall Highway in King's Nose. Offer not valid in states covered by active consumer fraud statutes.
Call extension 95 and order now before it's too late.
Even though I had my artwork up on the board, not a single kid created the same piece of artwork. And that's what's beautiful about our world. And, you know, we need to do a better job of teaching kids about that. Here's what I recommend doing first, but then you guys are such amazing artists.
And it's not just math. With creativity at the heart of every subject, the children are learning a creative mindset.
Yeah, you're doing such a good job. When you're teaching through the arts and the kids are really expanding their mind and really critically thinking about things, you're really pushing them. Let's do a quick minute. You can walk around and see where people are at. Maybe you get an idea. Maybe you see something you like. Go ahead, before we keep going on this.
They're being taught to get off the path of least resistance, to push boundaries, and that it's okay if they fail.
Remember, we're all taking risks. We're all just trying. We all make mistakes, but that's how we learn. And you can't be afraid to take risks. What do you have to do to be able to join in? You have to, I'm thinking of something specifically, Jacoby.
You have to try your best.
You have to try your best and you have to take risks.
Yeah.
Exactly.
These fourth graders, are they gonna remember what their test scores were when they were fourth graders? When they're adults, when they're our age? No.
So I want you to just take 1 minute to just look at what you see here.
Are they gonna remember the process that to help them develop their understanding of the world around them? Absolutely. And that's the part that really allows them to grow as human beings. The skills that are embedded in the artistic experiences are making them better people, more so than a standardized test or some sort of assessment in math and literacy will ever do.
So there's one, and I'm gonna put this one over here for now.
Empowered by this creative ethos, the transformation has been astonishing, with improvements in test scores across the board. And in math, they've more than doubled.
Now people want to come here. We have a wait list of 80, 90 kids. And they want to be in our school because of what we're offering.
I'm not going to tell you how many angles. You guys are the artists.
The arts is empowering all of them. It engaged staff in a different way and engaged students in a different way. And it really changed our community in many positive ways.
Awesome job.
Creativity belongs to all of us. It's the most potent, transformative tool that we have at our disposal. It can change people's lives. Can transform the world. And we now live in an era of unparalleled creative potential. We live in an explosion of creativity, and the pace is only accelerating. The jobs that will exist in 20 years from now, we don't even have names for those yet. To succeed in that future, we need to cultivate creativity, to proliferate options, to get off the path of least resistance, to take risks. And in this way, we can take advantage of what it is to be a human, to drink in the world and produce something, anything, that has never existed before.
I like the future. I'm in it.
Build it myself, and I love it.
I'm not sure.
Personally, I'm very pleased.
No, I think it's going to be all right.
I can dig it.
How do I like the future? Well, the future's not here yet, man.
Smaller, but cleaner.
Right on.
I said live it or live with it.
Straight ahead.
Well, I think it has quite a great future in it. It's electric.